our very own Scott Weimer.
Are we rolling, Ken? All right. Hey, thanks for having me. Hope it's good to be had. So here we go, we're off. But first, before we go any further, we want to say hi. I really want to say hi, felt in my heart to say hi to Big Jim and Jim and Babing. So can you all stand up and say hi and a big cheer for these guys? Change your place. Hey! Yeah! Yeah! Lord bless you guys wherever you're at. Whatever you're doing, be blessed. Hallelujah. Okay, I got a little bit of a backlog of words that I was getting here. So, and actually, it's okay if I need to swallow this mic, I can do that too. So, a couple things. If God has a refrigerator, your picture is on it. Somebody needs to hear that. Couple more. Deuteronomy 28 says that God's blessings chase after you. This is not what I'm talking about. This is just something I just got during worship. I got a download here. So, not his judgments. Somebody needs to hear that. Not his judgments. Not his judgments. So his blessings are chasing you. They're overtaking you. He's running after you to bless you. All things are possible with God. All things are possible with God. Some of you need to hear that. All things are possible. You have a situation. You don't think it's good. Maybe God thinks it's not good. Probably. But all things, there's a solution to that problem. All things with God are possible. That's another little word. Now an interesting one, kind of specific. This is for the ladies. As I was over there, I just had a picture of an earring. Somebody lost an earring, or by tape. So somebody in this room lost an earring, and it's precious to you. It's you're fond of it. Anybody lose an earring this week that you know of, and it was precious to you, fond to you? I don't care if it's my wife. Is that you? Somebody lost an earring, or by tape. Okay. And I had the scripture, that person needs to read 1 John. You need to read 1 John, whoever that is. Because in there, when it says loved and beloved and all those things, you need to see yourself that way. You need to see yourself that way. 1 John. Okay. Woo. This is good. This is just even not even the message. So are we all having a good time? I'm having a great time. This is, by the way, you need to understand that we have great pastors. These are really good folks. And this is a little harder to do than it sounds. You know, they do a great job. They really do. And by the way, Gloria, who was in front of me here, Gloria, if you're listening to this, we're going to switch. I'm going to go first and you're going to go second because Gloria can really enrich. They can speak a great word. How many were here last week that heard the word? Yeah. Yeah. So I have to follow her. So do you want to speak? You can speak, Jim. I have a word, but you can speak. All right, we move on, and let's see if, by the miracle of technology. Okay, so here's what I had. So, on our journey today, here's how it all started. I'm on the front porch, drinking coffee with the dog. Big spiritual moment, right? Reading the Word of God. I read in my daily reading a scripture that we're going to cover in just a minute. And I went, huh, man, that's a really good word, Lord. That's a great download. That'll preach. And I hear that. Ha, 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 ha. You should preach that. Okay, Then I'm kind of, you know, having a discussion with the Lord. Lord, that's a great word, but that's not a full message. You know, we're just, you know, kind of, that's all right. I'll give you more. I didn't bring it, but I've been reading a book called Listen to Me, Satan, by Carlos Anacondia, talking about the Argentine revival. He's 90 years old. So it's an amazing thing, but he's sharing all of these insights that he has, and it was just a really interesting time. Okay, so today, when it was all said and done, I believe the Lord is setting a table for us, but I think you need to hear it the right way. Specifically, at our table and at our dinner, there will be an appetizer, there will be an entree, Lord willing, and a dessert. And specifically, now here's audience interaction. What's your favorite appetizer? Get it in your mind. Get it in your mind. No, you don't have to share it. Just get it in your mind. When you got it, say got it. Okay. What's your favorite entree? When you got it, say got it. Okay. What's your favorite dessert? Got it? Okay. So when you hear the word of God in something here, hear it, cherish it, take hold of it. That was a really powerful word that you talked about them dancing with the word of God. So that's kind of what I believe the Lord wants to do. It's really amazing how the Lord would tie all this together. So here we go. We're off on our journey. The appetizer. Here we go. Daniel chapter, and I'm going to come over here because you guys need love too. And I'm going to read from the screen. Daniel chapter 10. Verses 1 to 21. And I'm not going to dwell on this a lot. You all know this scripture. I was sharing this actually with Anna last night. By the way, she's doing really good in Hawaii, gearing up, getting ready. She's met her team. Did everybody see that video of her meeting the team? That is a lot. I know some of it. If you've not seen it, raise your hand. You got it? Okay. Awesome. Thank you. Thank you very much. So Daniel chapter 1, in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a message was revealed to Daniel whose name was called Belteshazzar. Okay, couple things. First king, he's in captivity. First king of the captivity was Nebuchadnezzar. Second king was Belshazzar, the king, right, with the hand. Third king, Darius or Darius, as I jokingly say, the man with two first names, Darius Darius. And then the fourth is Cyrus. So now that's the setting, okay? Whose name was called Belteshazzar, whose message was true, but the appointed time was long, and he understood the message and had understanding of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning three full weeks. I ate no pleasant food, no meat or wine came into my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all with oil. That's basically what that would be in creams and such. Till 3 weeks were fulfilled. So what is he doing? Anybody? He's fasting, right? Fancy word for he's fasting. He's fasting and he's praying. Now, catch this. We've seen this before. Really dwell on this a little bit. Now on the 24th day of the first month, very specific, as I was by the side of the great river, that is the Tigris, I lifted my eyes and looked and behold a certain man clothed in linen whose waist was girded with the gold of Uphaz. His body like beryl. Now beryl, in case anybody's wondering, comes in a kind of couple different colors and flavors. We don't know exactly what that is. Emerald is beryl, so that's green. But there's also like an orange one, kind of a yellowish orange. And then there's another one that's kind of a blue-green. Okay, so that's just some of the ways that it is. So, I don't know, his body, like beryl. His face appears like lightning. I mean, Doesn't everybody have a guy in lightning with a face of lightning show up? His eyes like torches of fire, and his arms and his feet like burnished bronze in color. That's gleaming bronze. So that's what he's seeing. And the sound of his words were like the voice of a multitude. So he's having a bit of an experience, as we like to say. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision for the men who were with me. Now we're going to pause there for just a second. Now, this is the 21st day. Has anybody figured out? He started out maybe by himself, maybe with others, but he's gathered. It's 21 days later, consecutively. He now has people with him, gathered with him, praying that he would have understanding. Y'all with me? Everybody tracking? Okay. For the men who were with me did not see the vision, but a great terror fell among them, so they fled to hide themselves. You do not have to have somebody else's experience. But if somebody else is having an experience in God, sometimes if you'll, what's the word? Bless it. And I don't know, help foster it and just bless, God, I bless the work, whatever you're doing in their life. God will make it that you have your own. Possibly he'll give you the other ones, but he'll just do what he does. He's God. These guys hid themselves. Therefore, I was left alone when I saw this great vision, and no strength remained in me, for my vigor was turned to frailty in me. I retained no strength, yet I heard the sound of his words. And while I heard the sound of his words, I was in a deep sleep on my face. In our modern vernacular, we'd basically say that he fell out in the spirit, right? He's on his face before the Lord. With my face to the ground. Okay, so that's what's going on. Suddenly, as I turn the page, there we go. Did I miss it? There we go. Suddenly a hand touched me, which made me tremble on my knees and on the palms of my hands. And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright, for I have been sent to you. And while he was speaking to me, I stood trembling. So a couple things there. Angels speak strength to you. So if you're feeling or hearing strength from the word of God, maybe it's an angel speaking that to you. Also, the word of God itself is alive and active, and God watches over his word to see that it's performed. Scripture says that. So it's performed for you, not just for the other person. You have to get really personal for some of these things. So suddenly a hand touched me, which made me tremble on my hands and knees and on the palms of my hands, and he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you while I was, and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you. And while he was speaking this word, I stood trembling. Then he said to me, do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day, say that with me, first day. So which day out of 21 was the angel sent? Really? Huh. So why didn't the angel arrive on the first day? We're going to read, right? You guys know this. I'm bringing it back to your memory, though. For from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard. And I'm telling you, beloved, your words are heard too. But sometimes you don't have an answer yet, and we're going to look at why. I have come because of your words. The angel appears to Daniel because Daniel prayed. He prayed. He sought the Lord, he humbled himself, and he prayed. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, and behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left alone there with the kings, now it's plural kings, of Persia. Now I have come to make you understand what will happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision refers to many days yet to come. So I'm just going to put a pause there and just say, the backstory is, the angel is telling him he was hindered. Is he hindered by a physical prince in the earthly realm? Yes? No? Anybody? No. People are shaking their heads. No. No. He's hindered by a spiritual prince, a principality. Right? We understand that? Okay. Then later it says kings. That's another thing. So it's like maybe a lower ranking one hindering him. And so Michael comes, and he is released to immediately appear. Now keep in mind, angels are outside of time, and you're going to hear something really, really interesting here. And they step into time to help us. You understand, in heaven, nothing catches God by surprise. Your biggest problem does not catch God by surprise. He's not sitting on the throne, oh no, that's happening. I didn't see that one coming. It's not that way at all. He's outside of time. And he looks in time, and he enters in at various points in time with the angelic, sinning angelic beings, and they come, and they bring an answer. And they bring what you need, what I need. We need to hear this. And by the way, I'm speaking this message as much to me. I need to hear this. I need to remind myself of this. This is a life word that we all have to really understand what's happening. So I turned my face to the ground, became speechless. Oh, excuse me. Let me come back. And then one having the likeness of a man touched me, verse 18, and touched me and strengthened me and said, O man, greatly beloved, fear not, peace to you. By the way, did you ever get an idea that people, when they have an encounter with an angel, it's like, can be kind of overwhelming? So it's like, whoa, fear not, they often say. Then he says, peace to you, shalom to you. Be strong. Yes, be strong. And when he spoke to me, I was strengthened. Oops. I'm sorry. I'm having a hard time here. Next one. And said, let my Lord speak, for you have strengthened me. And then he said, do you know why I have come to you? Now, that's a really interesting question. The angel asked a question of Daniel. Daniel, do you know why I'm here? Does anybody figure it out? I don't know. When the angel says it, then you know. But sometimes, I don't know if I would know. I'm just putting myself in the shoes. And now I must return to fight with the prince of Persia. What land is Daniel in at this time? Anybody, raise your hand. He's captured, carried away to Babylon. Babylon was the two guys of Babylon, I mentioned them, right? Then the third was Darius, which was a Mede. Then Cyrus, Persian king now, is now controlling it. So it's under the Persian Empire, right? So he's fighting against the prince of Persia. The things in the realm over where Daniel is at. And when I have gone, for indeed, catch that. So he's going to fight for a season, and after he leaves, I don't know if you've seen this before, but let's look at this. Indeed, the prince of Greece will come. So I say angels are outside of time. Do you know how long that would take? History lesson, that's going to be a while. That's a couple hundred years, maybe. to the time, and he's telling them ahead of time, hey, I'm gonna fight against this on your behalf. That's what angels do. You're praying, and I'm fighting. And then, oh, by the way, when I'm gone, then the prince of Greece is going to come. And oh, by the way, that's Alexander and the Macedonian army coming and doing all their thing. So you can just see it. The things in the heavenly, there's some things that happen on the earth in correlation to that. Now, it'll take some time. And he says, no one upholds me against these except Michael, your prince. So we see Michael the prince. So here's some observations that, let's see if I thought I tried to cover them. You do not need to have somebody else's experience. It's good to humble yourself to get understanding in the things of God. If you do not understand something, that's a very real scenario. Some of us have missed out on answers to prayer requests because we gave up before it was manifested. I believe I have. I believe anybody else in that boat, perhaps with me? People are nodding their heads. Yeah. Some of us were tricked into believing that the lie, that it wasn't for you, or that you're not good enough, or that it's for the other person, or ta-da-ta-da-ta-da, whatever, right? But I believe that's a lie from the pit of hell, because I believe, like Daniel, when you pray, things happen. Heaven is in motion behind the scenes, but you may not see it yet manifest in the earth. Keep praying. Get somebody to join with you. What about the scripture where two, finish it, or more are gathered together in my name? There I am in the midst of it. Or as agreeing on another scripture, it says, where two agree on anything, you shall have it, right? So you just see these scriptures working together. Another point, you have an adversary that is waging war against you. If you do not know that, you need to know that. You've heard it now. We have an adversary. If you are a Christian, I mean, everybody has it, but if you're a Christian, you're marked with the blessing of the Lord. But also the enemy recognizes that. And you would do well if you, as much as possible, let God dig in the garden of your heart and drop all the stuff that you would be free. And that not get religious, but be filled with the power of the Spirit, which we'll talk about at the end, that you may see the goodness of God in the land of the living. You are greatly loved. That's the message, one of the words, you need to hear that the angel spoke to Daniel. God speaks strength to you. If you're weary, he speaks strength. Continue on. Daniel prayed 21 days straight, and he asked people to join him. And he fasted, and he prayed. All right. How are we doing so far? We go on. That's that with the appetizer. Entree. 1 Corinthians 15, 46. That's a scripture that talks about a body naturally passing away. And it says, first Adam came and then died. But Jesus came and he's the spiritual. So the natural comes first and then the spiritual comes. That was 1 Corinthians 15, 46. Genesis 2, and I'm summarizing here, verses 4 to 7 and 10 to 14. I'm going to tell the story. So, at creation, springs from the earth pop up, push the water up, and mist comes over the face of the earth and waters the Garden of Eden. The water from the mist forms a river that splits into four rivers. Genesis records that it is called, the first one, Pishon, which literally means overflowing increase. Overflowing increase. Anybody need any overflowing increase? Then you need to be tied to Pishon. Interesting, it flows to a land called Havilah. And Havilah means to give birth out of pain. A land of sorrow, a land of mud. And in that land, there is gold and precious stones. Now that's interesting, isn't it? Very interesting. Now we turn to Ezekiel chapter 47, and you're going to see something very similar. For sake, I got a lot of stack here, and I'm going to give me a second. There we go. Ezekiel 47, verse 1 to 10. Then he brought me back. Oh, by the way, the backstory is Ezekiel is having this vision. The angel is taking him through the temple and all these things. And by the way, the early part, chapter, I don't know, it's 44 or 45. I hadn't read it just before this, but I'm just thinking about it right now. There's a point in that scripture where it's talking about priests and people who could do the work of ministry, but didn't want to draw near to God, and God says, then I won't let them draw near to me. I want the priests who are like the house of Zadok, who want to come near to my presence. They can come near to my presence. So just store that away, okay? I believe that's not you guys, but if you see somebody and you just recognize that, boy, they're just doing the work of the ministry, but their heart is far from God, that's what's going on. God knows about this. He's talking about it. So he brought me back to the door of the temple, and there was water, same kind of a thing, water flowing from under the threshold of the temple toward the east, for the front of the temple faced east. And I'm going to ask the question, think in your mind, why east? Okay, the water was flowing from under the right side of the temple, south of the altar. He brought me out by the way of the north gate and led me on the outside of the outer gateway that faces east. And there was water running out on the right side. And when the man went out of to the east, and with a line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits. Now, a cubit is about, it's from elbow to tip of your finger, it's about 18 inches, about. He measured 1,000 cubits. So, math. Sorry, I know it's Sunday morning, but we're going to do a little math. 18 inches, that's a foot and a half, times 1,000, 1.5 times 1,000 is 1,500, okay? So it's 1,500 feet. 1,500 feet. All right, you with me so far? And it came, so he brought me through the waters, and the water came up to my ankles. Say ankles. Ankles. And again, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters, and the water came up to my knees. Now say knees. And again, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through, and the water came up to my waist. Say waist. So you're seeing a pattern here. 1,500 feet, next 1,500 feet, next 1,500 feet. And he measured 1,000 more cubits, and it was a river that I could not cross, for the water was too deep. Water in which one must swim. A river that could not be crossed. And he said to me, Son of man, have you seen this? So the angel is asking a question. Are you seeing all this? You getting this? Then he brought me and returned me to the bank of the river. Did I get it? There we go. And when I returned there along the bank of the river were very many trees. Now think about this. This is the river flowing out of the temple. It's the river of God. What does the Lord say that we are? Believers, what does it say? We are the oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. And I dare say that that's a picture of us on the side there as one of the things, drawing from the stream that it can become a raging river. That's us. This water flows toward the eastern region and goes down into the valley and enters the sea. Now that's the Dead Sea. When it reaches the sea, its waters are healed. So the angel is prophetically saying that waters of the Dead Sea, the saltiness and all that, salt sea, are going to be healed when the living river coming from the temple is... By the way, is this part of Ezekiel? This actually did not happen. I mean, spiritually, yes. But there wasn't this temple. There wasn't all this stuff. This was never built. But why is God saying that? Just so it's a nice story? No. So that we can glean from it and understand the heart of God, what he wants to do, and where we fit in. When it reaches the sea, its waters are healed, and it shall be. Now, that's a really important legal word. When you hear the word shall, it's so. It shall be that every living thing that moves, wherever the rivers go, they will live. And there will be a great multitude of fish where these waters go, for they will be healed. The fish will be healed. And everything that live where the river goes will live, excuse me, where the river goes. And it shall be that fishermen, say fishermen, will stand by on it from Engedi to Englaim. Now, I might have butchered the names, and I apologize for that. They may be places for spreading their nets. Their fish will be of the same kinds as the fish of the great sea, exceedingly many. So now, I ask you, in light of that, think of some observations here. This is a spiritual artesian well that's coming from under the temple that flows to become a great river. Does this sound familiar? Does this sound like creation? Does this sound like some things like the Pishon? The river is progressively deeper away from the temple. Key. Now, I love meetings in the church. I love it. I love it so much. I like to go to conferences, all those kinds of wonderful things. And God touches us, and that's great. But do you know, we're going to look. Jesus didn't say, I've risen from the dead and I have all authority. Go and have a conference. Go and have a wonderful church meeting in a building. He gives us all this word picture in the Old Testament that he wants something to happen. This river heals, it makes things grow, and the river restores. These are just some observations that I put down. Now we get to why east? Why does the river flow east? Really big deal. If you can understand this, if you hear nothing else, hear this. The river is flowing to where people are that are sinners. What? Yeah. The river wants to flow to where people that are lost are at. Because God wants to buy back and have a relationship with everybody that's lost. And so we see from Genesis 3:14, Adam and Eve, I'm not going to go there, but they're kicked out. Where do they go? They go east of the Garden of Eden. Then Cain kills Abel. Where does he go? He's sent further east from even that part of being east. And we just see, right? We see this progression. Then we look at just even modern day, all these different religions pray facing east. Islam, the Jews, they often would do the temple, but it can be east and other places. So they face the east to pray. I just found that to be really fascinating. And that's where it was, God, why east? If you can receive this word, if you have ears to hear, catch this. You, all of us, we are the fishermen on the banks of the river. We have nets with the word of God. preaching the gospel, just sharing our faith. Your testimony has power in it. That's a net. Lost people, they're the fish. They're the fish that are going to be caught. You, working with God, being nourished, are going to be catching them. The river of God is strongest about 1.15 miles away from the temple. Think about that. Is in a church building where the strongest anointing is? And that's strong. I like it. It was a good meeting. Thank you, worship team. I was having a great time. I'd have gone on and spoke another time. I was just having my own party of one with the Lord. I was just having, you know, that kind of a time. Buzzing. Remember, we were to go daily in the temple, but also Acts 5:42 says from house to house. That's how the early disciples did it. Why does God want to do all this? Well, remember Havilah. God values each lost person. They, these lost people, are like precious stones and costly gold to him. And he wants to have a relationship with them. And I believe that each person, it's not like this, when it says in 1 Peter 2:5 that we're stones. I believe that it's like a dirty old, I don't believe that at all. I believe it's a precious stone. I want you to think about heaven. Why would I say that? Because the streets are paved with gold. It's clear, and then there's flakes of gold. It's so clear you can see through it. There's gems. The gate to get in is a solid pearl. The throne of God is made of pure sapphire. You look and you read, and there's all these different levels, and there's stone after stone and diamond and all this stuff. And so in this place that Ezekiel is seeing, there's all this stuff. God wants us to understand that that's how he values people. And I believe it's these, as we see ourselves the way God sees us, as valuable. He, by the way, took the most, what's the word, valuable substance in the entire universe of anything ever to be the blood of Jesus, shed it that he could have a relationship with you. That's a big deal. He values you really, really a lot. Me too. We need to think of ourselves more that way. God values me. He wants to have a relationship with me. He considers I'm a precious gem. And he wants to put me in that living wall in the temple, built up holy unto him. A couple things you should think about. You're that living stone that God is building into his spiritual temple. You with me so far? We tracking good? All right. Dessert, and dessert is quick. We okay? All right. Here we go. Mark 16. Now, mind you, these are three different areas, sections of Scripture. And this is the way I've never done it this way before. Matter of fact, I'm probably violating everything I've ever learned in preaching, you know, because I'm, you know, usually you're supposed to tell them what you're going to tell them, and then tell them what you told them, right? So people are laughing. You know, that's literally what. So I'm like, God, what are you doing? And he's like, no, you need to do this. And I'm like, okay, all right, off we go. Mark 16, and he, Jesus, said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, and he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those that believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will, it's literally in the Greek, in my name, in my name, in my name. In my name they will cast out demons. In my name they will speak into tongues. In my name they will take up serpents. In my name, if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. And in my name they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Next one. Matthew 28:18-20. And Jesus came and said to them, All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore. And I looked this one up last night because I was just, it was just in my craw, go. And it literally says, having gone, therefore, make disciples of all nations. And I'm like, Lord, what does that mean? And I think it literally means the implication that I have is as you're going about your daily life, you're going. You're not just hiding away as a recluse in a chair, as a monk or whatever, praying for years and years and years. No. You're going and you're being Jesus with skin on. As you go, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you. And lo, here's a promise. Lo, hey, I am always with you. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. You have a promise there. If you don't recognize that Jesus is with you, you need that today. Don't leave without that. So the next thing is, what does this look like? Well, maybe it looks like you have a barbecue with a neighbor or friend or something, and you just bring up, hey, where are you at in your spiritual journey through life? I mean, you don't have to say anymore. You just begin the topic, and maybe that leads to other things, and then you can maybe share with them about that. Or maybe it's lunch with a friend. By the way, are you seeing a pattern here? Maybe it's meeting for coffee or something else. Maybe you're going to do something, go see a show, whatever. But it's intentionally saying and intentionally doing something for someone to expand the kingdom of God. In other words, we have to get out of our comfort zone. And I'm just speaking for me. I can be really comfortable. It is really comfortable for me to sit here. And Dick has tried to get me to speak for a while. And I went, I'm very comfortable. And I'm serious. I have spoke, I think a couple years straight every Sunday. So I don't need to speak again. If I never spoke again, I'm okay with it, God. And God's like, no, you need to speak. You need to speak. And I'm like, yeah, we'll put that off a little bit. And then all of a sudden drops in a word. And then here we are. We need to stop for the one. All right? So our time is very quickly coming to an end. And I'm going to go to the next slide. And I'm just going to, that you can read them. I'm not going to, but I'm just going to tell you the first one. Jesus promises the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that he's going to send the promise of the Father, verse 49. Tarry in Jerusalem. Wait till you are endued from power on high. If you've not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit today, today's a great day. Today's a great day to let that happen. Right? Okay? If you are like me and leak, you get the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you're filled up, but you leak, or you're giving out or whatever, and we're doing that too. I mean, we just came back from a conference, and whew, man, I was, what's the word? Undone. I was undone. I was undone. By the way, in the time down there, I actually believe I got, I'm just going to say it, I believe I got a full healing for my eyes. For those that don't remember, I had been burned. I had a UV burn from a strange thing at a basketball game nearly 5 years ago. And blisters, pus in my eyeballs. Okay, really bad. You know, like skin cancer forming on the right. And I got, this time, I mean, I had measure of healing You know, I felt better somewhat, but was really light sensitive. I'm still in the habit. I even brought in my sunglasses. Did I not? I mean, I would sit at different places when it was during the summertime, just so I would, and instantly, and during the conference, I went outside, went to the car, bright sunny time, and all of a sudden it just dawned on me, whoa, it's sunny out, and I don't have sunglasses on. Huh, this is awesome. Some of you need to experience that for you, in your whatever that situation is. And God can sneak up on you just like he did me. He's Jehovah Sneaky. It's one of the non-named names of God. It's got to be in there somewhere. Day of Pentecost comes, and they were all in one court, in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, filled the house where they were sitting. Tongues of fire come and land on their heads. Not loser. It's this way. It's up, right? Ooh, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, right? All that stuff. And they speak in another language. And if you've not been baptized in the Holy Spirit, I really encourage you to do that. By the way, we read it. In case you're one thing I'm going to highlight, did you catch it when we read Mark 16? What's the first sign of a believer? They're going to cast out demons. Now, there's a part of me that just goes, man, I wish that wasn't in there. And there's a part of me goes, yeah, I want it in there. Let's just, you know, just, it's kind of this back and forth. I was talking to Rich Garrick about this. We both have the same feeling. Every time I'm praying and I'm working on deliverance from somebody, the hairs on the back of my neck stand up. So I'm like the dog. So I'm watching my dog, you know, so you're laughing tomorrow. Yeah. That's what's going on. And I wasn't, yeah, that's not right. You know what I mean? We got something going on. So I'm like, Rich, the hairs are standing up. Mine too. Okay, that's a demon. So we worked good together on some of these things. You don't have to have that. All I'm saying, you know, you don't have to have somebody else's experience. We just happen to have the same on that. I just thought that was kind of funny. All right. So here we go. How does all these things fit together? You. All of these things were spoken to you. God wants you to know there's things happening behind the scene, and he has really good things for you. But some of you have not yet received them. You've not yet received a healing. You've not received the breakthrough. You've not yet received this or that. That's the first one. Second one. You heard the word of the river. Some of these things God wants you to know. He's gently calling you. Do something fun. Do something fun with your neighbor, your friend, or whatever. Get out of your comfort zone. And the third one is, we just see, that's the Great Commission. But then, oh, by the way, you need this. You need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And if you've not had that, if you've not had that empowerment, then you need that. You desperately need that. You don't even know it. And that's okay. Sometimes I don't even know what I need. God does things for me because he's so good. All right. Does that make sense? All right. So here we go. Here's where we're going to go with this. I'm going to take a chair, set it here. This is the dessert side, if you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And in the middle here, I'm going to move this back to wherever here. This will be the side where the entree. You need to do something outside of, you know, you need to get out of your comfort zone and do some things. And then over here, this is the appetizer. Thank you. Appetizer. And that's where maybe you're the one where you're having an issue. You're giving up too soon. You're just giving up too soon. And God wants to encourage you. He's for you. If you'll linger in his presence, if you'll seek him, he'll break through strong on your behalf. He is the God of the breakthrough. And he's that for you today. I also believe right now, right here, I had the word over there, and I saved it for now. If somebody needs healing, I believe God is present here. His Holy Spirit is here. But he wants to heal. If you need that, get prayer. Now, This is body time. We're going to move. I'm going to set up the chairs, and we're going to go. Thank you all, by the way. This is awesome. You guys have been so good to talk to.